There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, let me refresh this again here to get the latest temperature. Okay, so 99 degrees right now is what we're getting at the West Mobile. This is not at the airport. Where is this one? This one's this thermometer out on Hillcrest. 99 degrees, which makes the heat index 121 degrees right now. So just to let you know, as we are making our way through an excessive heat warning for South Alabama. Actually, I think a bunch of the rest of the state as well. This goes on through tomorrow. We'll get an update from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams in just a little bit here on Midday Mobile. All right, live local talk. That's what we do. Next couple hours, you and I, we're going to chat. Got people coming by to talk to. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. I've seen this man quite a bit lately, but you have not been in the studio since it's been probably... or maybe on the phone. It's been a couple months. Representative District 102, Shane Stringer, in studio today. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Good to get you back. You and I were talking yesterday. Let's go back. Where Governor Ivey had been in our area quite a bit in the last week.
That's correct.
Yeah, she came in for an event on a Monday and then on a Wednesday, and then she's back this last weekend, right?
That's right. We had another event in Baldwin County Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, so the governor was back in for this event. As part of this that was going on, there was a time that y'all had an audience. And tell me who all was there, an audience with the governor.
The governor had a meeting with the Mobile and Baldwin delegation, the senators and representatives from both counties.
Okay. I'm just going to guess that maybe the idea discussion of tolls came up.
It did.
So, yeah, you know, this is the governor had to know that's coming.
That's right. And I'm sure that was probably part of this meeting, was to hear some of our concerns and issues with the toll bridge and the Bayway project. So it was an opportunity, I guess, for us to express our opinions.
Well, the governor's got to be aware of it. I know y'all on the front line are aware of the hue and cry of what's going on with these tolls. This is every month that goes by, more people wake up to what's going on, and more people they're angry about it,
and rightfully so. I mean, this is, you're looking at doing a toll bridge on the heels of a gas tax. They hadn't even started collecting the gas tax, and we're already talking about doing a toll. You know, we need to think some of this out and how we do some of these projects. And you know, I'm definitely against the toll. I think we've got to look at other options before we go and do the toll and put a burden on our citizens.
Yeah, and people, and I know you get this from talking to your constituents. I get it doing this show every day. There's a lot of people feel like the ship has sailed. In other words, this is, I'm not, and you can tell us right or wrong, but people say, you know, I feel so mad because it seems like this was all done before they even asked our opinion.
I get that feeling, too. You know, it's... I don't think it's a done deal. You know,
okay.
Is it close? Probably so. You know, I think the people's voices are starting to be heard. I'm the representative for North Mobile County and West Mobile, and the toll bridge is not going to affect us as much as it will others, and mm-hmm. our citizens are in an uproar over it.
Well, it's because, you know, this idea that we're all one community. If you look at crossing the bay, is not like leaving and going somewhere else. It's just part, that bay happens to be in the middle of our metro area.
That's correct. I mean, I cross the bay weekly, yeah, throughout the week to have lunch with people, to meet with friends and business owners and hear their concerns. And, you know, this toll will put a stop to some of that.
And it's good. Yeah, it's going to affect how business is done, how people make choices. Yeah, you were talking about, you and I were having a conversation, how it affects even people for healthcare choices and things like that, what hospitals they will go to. Maybe they have a hospital they want to go to, that doctor's there. But if somebody's on a fixed income and a budget, if they got to go, and Lord knows, I know, watching older family members of mine, they got to go to the doctor sometimes like 3 times a week, you know, for this appointment, that appointment.
That's correct. You know, I've got an aunt that lives on a fixed income of around $650 a month. And a $12 toll, you know, over and back is a lot. And if she has to pay that to go to a doctor's appointment, that can mean the difference whether she gets to go to that appointment or not.
I mean, that's an angle that you know, hadn't even thought of, because there are specialists, and there might be somebody in Baldwin County who needs a physician that's in Mobile County. They go to them quite a bit, or vice versa, and those people are paying that toll.
That's right. We have 3 major hospitals in Mobile, you know, the USA, Mobile Infirmary, and Providence, that are used by a lot of the Baldwin County residents. And those people that are having to come back throughout the day to visit and check on their relatives, that's going to be tough on them.
Yes, that was when you and I talked about it the other day. That's a whole other component. We've talked about the business and people working, but that's a whole other component of the people affected by this. So you have this meeting, South Alabama delegation meeting with the governor. Attitude from the governor was what? She's listening. She's done listening. What did you get from that?
It was hard to say. I mean, I think she was listening. You know, a lot of the ideas that was getting bounced around and brought up, I'm not for sure we were getting a lot of attention on that. You know, it was brought up that maybe we should consider trying to minimize the curve going into the tunnel before we look at doing the whole toll project and postpone it for a little while, and that was not really considered. It was brought up that maybe we should you know, look at other payment options or other financing options through other state agencies and see if that's an option, and that was kind of shot down pretty quick. You know, it's a lot that was brought up. One of the things I didn't realize is that 65% of the tolls are coming from locals and 35% is from others.
Is that that's their estimate?
That's their estimate. You know, that's crazy that we're locals are going to be paying for 65% of a federal bridge on a federal highway. I mean, we're not far from the 2020 election. It's rumored that there's going to be a federal infrastructure bill. You know, it was even brought up that we should possibly wait. Let's see what's coming with that. And basically, you know, we were told that we need to move forward and need to move forward now. You know, that this project's been lingering on for 20 years. Well, if it's been lingering on for 20 years, then what's it going to hurt to wait another year and a half to see what's coming down the pipe in the federal system?
That's you know, I was saying that the other day. I feel that the op-ed that came out from the governor at the end of last week, and then you were talking to her at that time, seemed to say, hey, because it's been going on 25 years, therefore we need to move right now. To me, it's almost making the opposite argument, that if it's been 25 years of this, honest to goodness, what is another year if it could mean a big difference in federal funding?
That's right. I mean, let's wait and see what they may have to offer.
But they seem to be, whether what you're telling me y'all had at this meeting, when you're talking to the governor in person, or I'm reading in the op-ed, it seems like that's just off the table.
They were very reluctant to listen to that argument. You know, they brought up some issues, and I even brought up the question about any of the surveys or the pilot studies or the environmental studies, whether they would expire if we were to wait. I was told that they would expire in 2 years. I don't see how they would expire in 2 years, but even if they do, that's still enough time to wait, and let's see what's coming in the 2020 election. Once we're locked into this 55-year toll, the feds are not going to come back and give us money to pay for this project.
Yeah, and that's an important thing, that people say, oh, well, if we get it started and then something changes, then we can get that. But that's not the way it's going to work.
I mean, that don't even make sense. They're not going to come and pay for something that we're already paying for.
So, I mean, there's no chance of – whenever this deal is struck and signed off on, the way I understand it, that is the structure for 55 years. There's no, oh, just wait a few years and we'll restructure this thing.
That's right. And it's not. You know, it's, you know, when we ask about if the federal infrastructure grant was to come up and there would be money available to pay for this program, would we be able to basically pay the project off and be done with the toll, we were told that we would have to buy out of it. We would have to buy at it from the investors that get this project. So, you know, you're still going to have to pay the money either way.
With the interest, yeah.
With interest.
Okay. Representative Shane Stringer, our guest in here. I want to, one thing before we go to the break, and I'll come back around to this. Another piece of information that came out that, was news to me when y'all were at this meeting was that the three companies that are bidding this project, right? Make sure I get this right.
That's right.
Those three companies, one will be awarded the project. You told me you found out during this meeting that the two that don't get the project are also getting paid?
We were told that they would be reimbursed for their services toward this project.
You mean what they have in their proposals, the work that they've done, that they bid the project and they don't get the project, but they still get money for their time?
That's right. They would get reimbursed for the time that they spent bidding on this project.
Yeah. And been around the planet too long, but I'm pushing 50 years here, not too long from now. I've never heard anything like that in my lifetime. No, I mean, if you pitch a project, somebody goes and bids a house or something like that, if you don't get it, you eat the cost.
That's right. And that's a better reason to try to make sure you're the best bid.
Yes.
You know, if not, you're going to lose out all the way around.
So the two that don't get this, the way you understand it, they're going to be made whole for whatever they've spent to bid the project.
That's correct.
Even though they don't get the project.
That's right.
Right. Y'all are scratching your head like I was, too. We'll talk more about this. District 102 Representative Shane Stringer, our guest. Take some calls and texts as well at 343-0106. So we, the taxpayers of Alabama, and people paying tolls, will end up paying companies that didn't get the go-ahead to build the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. Who signs a deal like this?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Guest in studio, Representative Shane Stringer, one of the South Alabama contingent that was at a meeting with the governor, as she was in town like three times last week. But part of that conversation we were talking about with the tolling and bringing up these ideas, things that we've talked about here on the show, things that you and fellow members of the South Alabama delegation have talked about, and and I won't put words in your mouth, so I'll let you say it again, but it seems like that wasn't catching the attention of the governor.
That's right. Yes.
That, you know, this idea, basically, if people read through that op-ed that appeared in Yellowhammer News, that it sounds like that's the attitude that was in that meeting.
That's right. It was.
Okay. And another part of this that you just laid out that was not in the op-ed, and I've not heard until you and I talked, was the idea of these three companies are bidding the project. One will get the project, and the other two will have their expenses, if I'm using the right term, their expenses paid for by the taxpayers.
That's right.
Shane, have you ever heard, I'd love to have that deal in my business, that we'd go propose an ad campaign for somebody, and if they say no, then I can bill them for the work we did to do that. It'd be a nice business model.
That's right. I have a lot of friends that are construction owners that would love to get reimbursed for the projects they don't get on job sites.
I can't believe we didn't have 25 companies bidding this thing. If they do that kind of deal,
that's right.
I keep my company busy for a year or two and then get all our expenses paid. This is something that we're on for.
Yep.
Unbelievable. All right. You know, this is something that's being fought grassroots. It's also being fought through our representatives. But what can be done? We got that October 7th meeting coming up. What's the plan around that?
Is the governor saying that if anyone has any plans or options, and including payment plans, to bring a presentation to this meeting and to present it to them, and they will consider it?
Weren't y'all doing something similar in this meeting? You were with the governor. It sounds like she wasn't interested in those other ideas.
We definitely brought up some options, you know, and
about bonding out through the state, right?
Bonding out, looking at other funding mechanisms through the state agencies, looking at possibly minimizing the curve going into the tunnel. You know, we looked at discussed and brought up a lot of options to try to consider before we went to this massive project.
I mean, I just say it this way. If she's not listening any more intently or moving on with ideas that are brought up by our representatives. You understand that I have not great hopes that when citizen Sean Sullivan shows up there in Montgomery and says something that I will get even, you know, a half a ear from her.
I agree. You know, I understand why you're feeling that way, but I definitely say the citizens need to show up and voice their opinion because there's power in numbers. And, you know, there's a lot of people disgruntled and upset over this project. So in order to get some other options on the table, they're going to have to step up and take off work and show up at this meeting to try to make sure their voices are heard.
You know, and y'all have got the extra work of talking to people that aren't the South Alabama delegation and your fellow House members from elsewhere in the state and making a case of why they need to get on our side.
That's right. You know, one of the things I've been looking at and considering is a constitutional amendment blocking tolls on interstate highways. You know, of course, that's something you would hope you didn't have to do.
Right.
Because you never know what the future holds, but they're kind of forcing us into this option.
So this idea, and if people haven't heard of it, it would be something that moved through the legislature, mm-hmm. and then it would come up, I guess, for a vote, right?
It would.
Because I'll tell you right now, well, I don't know about the rest of the state, but if this comes up for a vote down here, I could tell you how the vote would go on that line item.
That's right, and especially when people realize that 65% of the tolls that are being collected are from locals, and the 35% will come from other parts of the state and country.
Wow. All right. Hey, grab those headphones because we're going to grab some calls here. Mike is in Baldwin County. You're on with Representative Stringer.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Whenever I was listening, whenever he said that two of the bids that don't get
yep.
the job,
yeah.
They're going to be paid, you know, I kind of almost bit my tongue.
Yeah, you sound like me when contract. I first heard this. I was when Representative Stringer told me this first time, when Shane told me this, I said, say what?
Yeah, because I'm a licensed contractor. I build houses. We do small commercial jobs as well. There are times when we bid and we sit down, we crunch the numbers. What we do is we give a rough case scenario, what it's going to cost, and then that way we work ourselves down. My question is this. As before this project ever came about, isn't there a budget already in place where there's no toll at all?
You would think so. No, I hadn't seen or heard that.
Now, if there is, smart people do that. My proposal is this: shut down the tunnels, build you an overpass over that tunnel, 8-lane bridge, make exit lanes on both sides. Connect it to the Mobile side to the 8 lanes over there. And to me, that's a better solution than throwing these astronomical numbers that are out there, especially when nobody knows about a working budget number. I don't get it. I really don't.
I don't know how you work off that. Yeah. How do you work off not having a budget? I don't get that, Mike.
I don't get it because I've been in business for 20 years.
Right.
And before we ever start a project or even discuss a project, first thing we talk about, what's the budget? Everybody has a budget regardless. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, everybody has a budget. And to me, golly.
See, you're acting like I did.
I just don't have words to describe the frustration I feel. And you can multiply me thousands of times over.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of people scratching their head. They're saying, like, we're going to be handed a buck here that's going to cost us for years. And I travel back and forth into Mobile bidding jobs. You know, come on. You know, where's the logic in this? You know,
Mike,
I'm just frustrated.
Mike, really it'll be okay. We're going to work we're going to work a deal for you that on the jobs you don't get, you get all your expenses paid. We try to get one of those. Try to get one for the radio station. I'll get one for your construction business as well. Gary is in Mobile. He's up next. You're on with Representative Stringer.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Mr. Stringer. Hey, yeah. This story and this discussion just continues to bring up red flag after red flag after red flag.
Yes, it does.
And I think red flag number 333 and a third would be that the fact that if there's outside investors involved, need we remind ourselves of McCowan Park, whatever that thing's called down there by 65 and 10?
McGowan,
outside
yeah.
investors from like the state of like it's like Wisconsin or Minnesota or something are getting those tax dollars for years.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Mobile is not benefiting, not profiting from that tax revenue. It goes to that investor for like 25 or 30 years.
Yeah, and the side note of this, so, what Gary's talking about, y'all, the other part of this is I don't want to get off on the Hank, but remember we talked about the Hank. The city owns the actual structure of the Hank, doesn't own the land underneath. That goes back to the same partnership.
So it just seems that there's bad business decision after bad business decision being made all around Mobile, and I think the citizens are right to stand up and raise H-E-double you-know-what.
Yeah, I agree. I agree also.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Representative Stringer, you're hearing what I'm hearing. The folks are reacting the way I reacted yesterday. Just specifically this one part of it, where the people who don't get the bid get their expenses paid. For regular citizens working in business, Mike, Gary, myself, I kind of don't have words for it.
I'm with you. I was the same way when I heard
it. I would have never thought to go look in the documents for something like that because it's not even, I wouldn't even look for something like that. Doesn't make sense to me.
Nope. A lot of this does not. Just like you said, there's been a lot of red flags brought up in this, and you know, we're supposed to be good tenders of the taxpayers' dollars, and I don't see that with this project.
All right, let's do this. I got folks holding. We're going to come to you on the phone, also getting some text at 343-0106. We'll run the news break. Dr. Bill will talk about how much hotter it's going to get. Let's see if it's changed here in a second. I'm sorry to just bring bad news in, but let me refresh it again because we were at 121 degree heat index. Oh, it's a lot better now. A lot better. 119 degree heat index. So it's it's back to 121. It was 119 for a second. Now it's 121. Heat advisory today and tomorrow. It's an excessive heat warning. That's what they're calling it from the National Weather Service. We'll get more from Dr. Bill and news from Westwood One. Then we'll be right back on Midday Mobile. Our phone number, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Online at fmtalk1065.com. Remember the TuneIn radio app. The word tune and in mashed together, TuneIn radio app. That's free. You can stream us on your smartphone. Also, Simple Radio does the same thing. Check us out there. All right, guest in studio, Representative District 102, Shane Stringer, and one of the South Alabama delegation that was meeting with the governor last weekend over in Point Clear.
That's correct.
And it sounds like some of the things that were in the op-ed were exactly y'all's conversation. Now we're finding out y'all also got into some different parts of this, suggesting ideas that have come up on this show before. Idea about bonding it, whether through GOMESA or trust fund or something, the state bonding the money itself, or the scope of the project, trying to straighten out the entrance to the tunnel first, do these things. And you said the governor just didn't seem really motivated to go with those.
Did not feel like they were receptive to a lot of the ideas that we were looking at.
Because I want to read a couple, and we're coming to the phones, but I want to look through the text here. I mean, this is what we've talked about in the past, that people feel like this is already a done deal. And I know you said it's not, but you think it's close. I mean, person say, yeah, this is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. I bid on projects all day long, never won for losing. Somebody else suggested, is it too late for me to submit a bid? I'm submitting one, so don't worry. Somebody says, sounds like the deal's already struck. We're just talking about it.
I hope that's not the case. You know, we have a lot of people fighting this, and, you know, the citizens are definitely being boisterous. I'm getting calls, emails, texts every single day. And our districts, you know.
Yeah, you don't actually touch the bridge, but that's the argument, too, that people need to understand. We were talking about yesterday on the show is explaining this. If you're talking to fellow House members from Birmingham or Montgomery area or Tuscaloosa or North Alabama, got to find a road there that they travel back and forth every day. It's not like Citronelle and Fairhope are the same metro.
That's right.
It's not like going from Citronelle to go to Montgomery. I mean, we're all this connected. We all have kinfolk in different places, business issues in different places. I mean, we're connected.
That's right. I mean, you're not talking about a a way to save yourself 15, 20 minutes getting to the beach.
Right. That's what they think it is. They think we're all just going to the beach. It's like it's nothing but a Jimmy Buffett song all day long.
That's right. And that's not the case. The businesses throughout Mobile County and surrounding areas, even over into Mississippi and Louisiana that travel back and forth doing business here, it's going to cost. And they are going to have to pass those expenses down to our citizens.
I'm going to ask, and y'all hold on. I am coming to the phones. But the two texts here that go together. So I want to read these. All right. Well, first of all, okay, this one is pretty short. It says, who gets the final say on whether this project goes forward? That's one of them. And then, well, I'll let you answer that one first.
The governor.
The governor says, because then Dan asks, do we as a city or as citizens of Mobile have any bargaining power in this scenario? He's taking the municipal level. It just looks so bleak for us. For whatever the reason, this is a state issue, yet it only really affects our area, which basically means our voting power doesn't really have anything behind it, right? Does KIV really care that much about our votes? It's doubtful. So what do we do? Like, is it at all feasible for us to just hardcore boycott the bridge and Wallace Tunnel? Are there options? The reason I'm asking, because it sounds like no matter what, how great of an idea we come up with, Montgomery seems to have somebody and some unseen incentive to give us the shaft. Somebody's making money under the banking table here.
My thought is you still fight. You still reach out to your local, state, and federal politicians and push and demand that they stand up for us and do something. And let's try to continue to fight the fight.
And y'all's fight, though, is going to be to the governor, but you also, I mean, I got to imagine if you can work with fellow members of the House and our senators can work with fellow members of the Senate to get them, because the governor might listen to, if there are people from other parts of the state say, we're not going to work with you come session on X, Y, or Z.
That's right.
I mean,
that's what it's all about. You have to make those contacts. You have to have the support from throughout the state, and everybody better wake up and realize the effect that this is going to have throughout our state. Now, I'm not against this project. I definitely...
I'm a pro-bridge person myself.
I am pro-bridge all day long.
Yeah, I am too.
But let's rethink this toll thing. I mean, we're talking about a 55-year toll. That is ridiculous. The need for this project does not match the burden that we're putting on our citizens.
Now, you said that to me the other day on the phone. Y'all listen to this. It's really a great takeaway. In other words, the burden. I'll translate it in Sullivanese. So the cost, the money, dollars, right?
That's right.
The burden is not equivalent to...
It's not equivalent to the backup that we're facing on our interstate. Drive through Atlanta, drive through Richmond, Virginia, drive through L.A.
It stinks, but is it worth, because at the best case scenario, to get the best deal on it, you're spending $1,080 a year.
That's right.
And when you put it that way, I started thinking about it. As much as it's a pain, would I hand over $1,000 to somebody to get me out of traffic that day? And I don't think I would.
No, and that's not for your family. That's one vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have four drivers in my home.
Yeah, this man's got a big family.
Yeah, I mean, you got four drivers. That's $1,000 plus, times four. So
wow.
We've got to think this out. There's other options, and there's no reason. This project's been going on for 20-plus years. There is no reason for us to think that we have to rush it at this point. The little 6% grant that we're looking at from the feds, the $124 million, is not worth pushing this project forward. If it was maybe covering 60% of the project, mm-hmm. 80%, yeah, let's push it forward. But 6% from the feds is not enough to deal with this issue. And this is not just a local issue. This is a federal issue. This is a countrywide issue.
Eisenhower developed the interstate system for federal. It's a federal road system.
That's right.
A big change to how it had always been done before with states having the roads. Eisenhower implants the interstate system to have federal roads connecting.
That's right.
It's
a federal road all day long. And then to say that we've got to replace the Bayway, which is another $1 billion to that project. I just don't believe in that.
Let's go to the phones, and Alan is in Gulf Shores. You're on with Representative Shane Stringer.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I want to weigh in a little bit on the process regarding the estimation and charging for the bid and so forth.
Okay.
The reason why it's such a shock, it seems to me, just by listening to the show, is you can throw, generalities out there. But bottom line is, unless you understand the process,
then just to say that you don't understand why they're charging, it really makes no sense. First of all, on a project bid of that size, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon at all to charge for a bid. That's why there's only three companies. That's why.
And Alan, speak up a little bit. I have a little trouble here. Yeah. I can hear you, but
yeah,
there we go.
My point being is that that's the reason why you only have three bids is because they're charging for the bids, and the company that's getting the bid is charging for the bid. So it's not uncommon in the industry. You're talking about bidding a what's the total cost of the project?
It depends on $2.4 billion.
Yep,
$2 billion. All right, we're not talking about an ad campaign. We're not talking about going out and building a $100,000 house or bidding on that. You're talking about a multiple $1 billion. Look at all the moving parts that go into that. That's probably a team of people for 6 months at least to bid that project.
Okay, Alan, but let me just ask a question here. But as a, and I don't know the ratio, but as the ratio to the total possible profit, I mean, it's built in, right? What happens is the ratio may be the same. The numbers would be way higher for what they're bidding on, absolutely, than an ad campaign. But it's a ratio to my total bottom line for the year. I have to risk capital to attempt to get new business. And sure, their numbers are higher, but their profit level is a lot higher than mine, too.
Yeah, their profit level is a lot higher, but the in-depth study that it takes to bid the project is immense. You can't you're comparing apples to oranges when you're talking about your business and the engineering costs
but what about let's keep it to construction.
The representative knows that's not uncommon. I mean, you're not going to go in and build a multi-million-dollar federal highway without getting a bid and then receiving a payment for it. I mean, there's estimation departments all the time that are being paid to submit quality bids. We're only asking for three.
Well, why didn't everybody bid it?
Because they can't everybody bid it. They're only asking for they selected three companies that they felt were good companies to come in and bid the job. We're going to pay you to bid this job, and we want exact bids. We want good bids. Yeah, there's going to be variances in the bid. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, the lowest bid will get it without a doubt, but it still costs to get that information. We're paying, taxpayers, we're paying for that. We're paying for that information, what it's going to cost to build that project. And that is not uncommon in the industry.
It must be...
At different levels of industry, yes, maybe you're bidding a project. But if you're going to build, if you're going to bid $100 or $200, $500 million plant, you guarantee you'd be getting paid for making that bid.
So
there's
people,
no doubt about that.
So everybody who bids these big, and so anybody who bids a big project out there, those companies are all guaranteed recouping the time and expenses and whatever in that project.
Most of the time, yes. Yeah, there are instances when perhaps, but they know that going in. They know that going in.
Well, sure. I mean, if you know it going in,
then they devote the man hours, the time, the team.
Sure, wouldn't you? I mean, that's just doing business, right? I mean, if you know you're going to be guaranteed recouping your money to do something, that keeps your office busy. Why wouldn't you bid that? I'd bid that project too.
Well, when you're running with those types of contracts. When you're running in that arena, that's big boy stuff. It's not about going out here just building a house, or you know, and take that the same way. You could bid a condo project down at Gulf Shores. They build that into the cost of the project. The bidding process is in the cost.
So it's not just public sector.
Is that a big mystery? Am I like the only one out here? I mean,
Alan, I don't know why you're getting so angry. I'm just asking questions, man. Is that also for the private sector? So it's for both. I mean, is it all government projects?
Totally.
Some.
Yeah, there's bid costs that are all the time in these projects. I mean, look, I mean, someone's going to hear this and call in and either say, hey, this, he agrees or he don't agree. And you'll maybe hear another side of that. But it's not a shock. It's not a shock.
But it is for a lot of us, Alan. Obviously, not for you. It is for a lot of us. That's what we do around here. Get your opinion on it, your take on it. Maybe somebody else wants to chime in on as well. That's what we do. And I appreciate the call. Up against the break here, we're coming right back, and we'll take more calls and texts at 343-0106. Representative Shane Stringer in the studio. Talk about that meeting coming up October 7th and why it's so important for you to go. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Remember, you can get a podcast of this show and the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming that we generate right here from the home studio, which is the only studio of FM Talk 106.5. To get that in podcast form, going to fmtalk1065.com. Click the link for podcast. You can get it a la carte there. Or even better yet, subscribe at iTunes or for Apple users. I have one of those old-fashioned Android phones that my children make fun of. I use Stitcher, the app Stitcher, like someone who stitches. It works quite well. Also, you can get them through the TuneIn Radio app, has our podcasts. So you can find them on Spotify as well. Check them out. And make sure to give us a, whatever it is, stars or thumbs up or whatever the rating is there. Give us as many as you can of those stars. It's important to us. So thank you very much. All right, return to our conversation with Representative District 102 Shane Stringer, talking about what's happening now with the toll project going forward. I'm looking through a lot of these texts. I can't even read them all, but the idea is who makes a final decision? You said the governor. Mm-hmm. And people say, who can we talk to if we don't like this?
The governor. We need to be reaching out to
Is she listening?
Governor?
I mean, I'm not trying to be divisive here. I'm not somebody who says things like this just to be divisive. I'm asking a legitimate question. Is she listening?
It's hard to say. You know, I would hope so, but that's my hopes.
You point out, too, that members of the legislature that were, you know, let me use a high-tech term here, caught leaning, like so many of us were on this, with the fact that the tolling would be on both the Wallace Tunnel and the bridge.
That's right.
And the amount.
That's right. I mean, the amount that we're talking is, to me, is crazy, especially when you're talking about 55 years. And then you add in the ones that don't register or do the transponder or whatever, it's going to cost $9 per trip versus the six. You know, a lot of families cannot afford this. This is going to create a burden on our communities, you know. And I've said all along, this is common sense. If the feds can't afford it, the state can't afford it, what makes them think we can afford it?
No, well put. And it seems like, I guess we don't have leverage because we've been talking for 25 years that we need this, you know, and this is like going into negotiation where all the cards are stacked on one side that everybody knows. And so they've just, okay, if y'all got to have it, here's how it's going to look.
That's right. And that shouldn't be the case.
Right.
We've been told that, you know, either toll or no bridge. That's not an answer.
Yeah, that drives me nuts. It doesn't seem like we get a choice B or C.
That's right.
It's either, people say, well, you don't want a bridge. No, I believe that I want the infrastructure. I just, there's got to be another way than what we're present. You're telling me there's no other way to do this?
And I'm with you. I mean, there has got to be another way. There is another way. You know, if we look hard enough and we come up with something, there are other ways. If we make up our mind and are determined, we can come up with another way.
Let's go to the phones. And Damon in Mobile is first up. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a point. I know it's something that happened in the past, but I know for pretty much a fact that when the city of Mobile tried to get the tanker contract, they partnered with Airbus, and they spent approximately $5 million partnering with Airbus. And I'm pretty sure they didn't get their money back when they didn't. Well, they won the contract and then lost it. I'm pretty sure that money wasn't reimbursed to the city because they almost laid off a bunch of employees behind the budget shortfall. But secondly, I think the state's constitution is what lends to issues like this, where someone can just go to Montgomery and work things out and make decisions for people in other parts of the state without having a voice in it.
It does. I mean, what, Damon, I'm with you. And I'm looking through the text line, too. People say, wow, we really feel, like, powerless. This is how I felt during the BP money stuff, that like, they're ganging up on us, right. The rest of the state, because, you know, we're the kid that had lunch money, and they're all ganging up on us and taking it.
That's right, and they did.
Yeah, it all started with the phone company. They didn't want to have to go to each county in Alabama, so they said, we just want to go one place and negotiate one price. So they changed the Constitution, and we've been living with this ever since.
Oh, that's where it came from. I got to dig into that. So this came from the phone company having the Constitution changed to be able to bill across the state.
Absolutely. And they wanted one-stop shopping, and they totally changed the Constitution in order to let that happen. And it's been that way ever since.
Professor Damon, thank you. This is something I had never even heard of. You've opened my mind to a whole new place to go look. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Thank you, bro.
The Constitution was changed for the... We're going to check that out. Damon, thank you. Completely, let's use the term properly, I have been ignorant of that fact my whole life. So thank you, Damon. I will dig into that. So that's how that's done. Okay, so let's talk about what's next. We can sit and wallow in the mire of our unhappiness, or we can talk about what the next thing people should do that want to stop this is. And that is October,
show up
Montgomery.
At the meeting. Yeah, show up at the meeting October 7th. You know, you never stop fighting. You know, you fight all the way to the end, and... We're going to have people show up at this meeting to voice their opinion and show that their people are upset. Make sure that our voices are being heard.
Okay. We need to get through this, get this in line, so I go back to my normal conversation with you about getting four lanes on Highway 45. I want to go back to what I always bother you about, unless four-lane Highway 45. This bridge is so big, it's taken up all my time of talking about 45. So,
well, that's another prime example of never give up. You know, this fight is being fought from legislators for over 20 years, I know of, maybe longer. And I'm picked up the gavel, and I'll fight until my time is done in Montgomery.
You're to keep reminding them about 45?
That's right. We will continue to work and continue to fight for the victims that's lost their lives on Highway 45.
Yeah, people don't run 45 or don't pay attention to the news. It is a real story for Mobile County and on up into Washington County. Until you hit Mississippi, when it's now then four-lane with a huge... you know, median in the middle and big sides of the road. So, but that's a whole other story. Thank you, as always, for stopping by.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, coming back next hour, a lot to do here. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran is going to join us. It's Ask the Sheriff. It's your chance to ask the sheriff. There's some questions. Well, you know what? If you've never done it before, there's some questions that get asked to the sheriff a lot. Maybe we can cover them in the first segment. If not, we can do that. Also, as we look at what's being talked about nationally, and of course, we could... talk to Representative Stringer about this, too, with his years in law enforcement. What we're going to do, president's talking about again today, red flag laws, what can be done for enhanced background checks. You have some people saying, do something to mitigate these mass shootings. Other people are saying, wait, don't move so quickly. Let's make sure we do things that make sense. We'll run through that with the sheriff coming up in the next hour. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus ticket giveaway coming up next hour. We'll tell you more about that. Your chance to win right here with FM Talk 106.5. All right, head to the news. Dr. Bill has our forecast. Oh, let me refresh this again. It's the only thing about today is refreshing is what I do to the web page. Cool. A cool snap has broken out now down to 96 degrees with a heat index of 115. Refreshing. Get out there. By the way, until 7 tonight, we continue with that active warning for extreme heat. So do be careful. Do hydrate. Stay in the shade when you can.